tonight I really want you to follow me in the Word of God. I am going to go down a passage of Scripture, line upon line and precept upon precept. And I am going to preach tonight on this subject that I mentioned to you this morning, why I love Israel. Why I love Israel. Turn with me to Revelation. I've been in here a lot. I've been in here a lot on Wednesdays. But I want you to go to Revelation chapter number 12. And what I will do, I'm just going to preach down this chapter. I'll read a couple verses, give you a point, then read three more and give you a point, read a few more, give you a point, till I get finished with the chapter. And this chapter deals almost totally with Israel. And I thank God for Israel. I love Israel. I think you ought to love Israel. Amen. Amen. We're living, I think you agree, in dangerous days. And by the way, if you're listening online, share this. Dear God, the world needs to hear what I'm preaching tonight. And I hope you in the room shares it also. If you have social media, I don't, but you, if you do, there'll be somebody needs to hear this, because there's such a battle today in this area. But these are dangerous days, aren't they? The storm clouds are surrounding us. And lightning is flashing. And may I say to you tonight that the lightning rod is Israel. Israel is on the front page of your newspapers and on your social media. The eyes of the whole world is upon Israel. Amen. Israel is God's yardstick. Let me say this. Israel is God's blueprint for the future. And I want to say this real bluntly. God has not forgot Israel. Indeed not. He has not forgot Israel. And our churches ought not to forget Israel. I'll mention this a little later, but I'll just say this right now. The church did not replace Israel. I do not believe in replacement theology. It is unscriptural. It nears heresy, if not heresy. The church did not. By the way, the church is in existence today because of Israel. I hope after I get done preaching in a moment, next 30 or 40 minutes, that you'll have the passion and love I have for Israel. So what I'm going to do is just go down this passage. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And I meant to get with Josh today, and I did not. We were both busy, and it's been a busy week and a busy weekend. And I've been going back and forth to several places, and I wanted to get a PowerPoint or an outline. So what I am going to do this week with Josh, the message I'm preaching, I'm going to get the outline for you and every scripture reference that I'm going to give you. Now, you may turn to some of them tonight. I'm going to read several references tonight. So it may be difficult for you to turn to every one of them. So what I'll do this week, Josh and I will get together, get this outline to you, and so you can have it for your study later on. Verses 1 and 2, look at them carefully. And I'd like to talk, first of all, boy, this is one of the most important points of tonight, Israel's special favor. God has favored Israel above all nations. She is more important to God than the United States. There's not a nation on this planet as important as Israel. Amen. Now, I want to say this to you going into chapter 12. A lot of folks have difficulty with chapter 12 of Revelation. Amen, Chad? They do. Because you'll have some past, you'll have some present, and you'll have some future in it. And it's all, sometimes all in just in the same verse. So remember that as I get in to preaching. Let's look at verse number one, verse number two, and we'll just go down the passage. First of all, Israel's special favor. And there appeared, listen carefully, a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So who is this wonder woman in the scripture? Who is it? I'm not mistaken about it. I'm sure of it. That's talking about Israel. Now I'm going to prove it to you in a moment. That is not talking about the Virgin Mary. Somebody help me preach. That's not talking about the Virgin Mary. She was favored, but I want you to know the Virgin Mary is not someone you need to pray to. But she herself needed saved. And she did get saved. And also, I want you to know that this is not the church. Somebody help me. By the way, Israel gave birth to the Messiah. And Messiah gave birth to the church. This wonder woman is Israel. Now I'm going to give you a passage, write it in your margin, and you can go back and look at it to later this evening. First of all, let me prove again this passage to you that this is Israel. Genesis 37 and 9 says, and he, Joseph, dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience unto me. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. Those brothers made obedience unto Joseph, who was the 12th star, and that was Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel is the wife of Jehovah. Let me read to you. Stay with me tonight. I'm going somewhere, but I want you to see how favored she is. She's the wife of Jehovah. By the way, God's not going to forsake his wife, Israel. Amen. The Bible said in Isaiah 54, verse 5 and 6, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be called. For the Lord hath called as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wasn't refused, saith thy God. God said, I am married to Israel. Amen. Let me give you another verse. Write it in your margin. Romans chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service to God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And when concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all and God blessed forever, amen. God said, Israel gave us the Messiah. we're favored of God. We had Jesus tonight. We're saved tonight. We're washed in the blood tonight because Israel gave us the Messiah. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Israel is God called. Israel is God ordained. Israel is God blessed. I know that's not popular today. Whether it's popular or not, it's true. And our college campuses are running wild tonight with pinko liberal heathen professors and students that are anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-Israel. Right before our faces. And those college presidents don't have enough nerve to kick them off the campus, to not allow such atrocities in our nation. Amen. Did I tell you we're blessed because Israel? Genesis 12:3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and there shall, and in thee that all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Ladies and gentlemen, why would anyone get on a college campus? Why would anyone pass legislation against Israel? They are favored of God. We're all blessed because of them. Am I preaching? I'm blessed because of Israel. Hey, by the way, this book I have in my hand is a Jewish book. Predominantly. I serve a Jewish Messiah. I want you to know you're on dangerous ground tonight if you're not in allegiance with Israel. You're in dangerous ground tonight if you're cursing Israel. Because God said if you don't bless him, you'll curse him. If you curse him, he'll curse you. Yeah. Right. Amen. Right. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, boy, I'm still preaching this first point. I better move. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God," talking to Israel. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." Listen to this. "Above all the people that are upon the face of the earth," he is saying that little nation is blessed and honored and favored by God above everybody. Amen. And I want to say something tonight. This is real important. I don't know why there would be an argument about Gaza, Lebanon, or most of the surrounding areas. Israel does not even possess 10% of what's really theirs. Do me a study. Just do this. Go out and study every place that Abraham put his feet. Because my Bible said every place he put his feet is God's land. Man, that includes a lot. Tell those in Iraq. Tell those in Iran. Tell Lebanon. Tell Syria. Their land's not their land. That land is Israel's land. And one day we'll be given back to them. So I love them because God favors them. Shouldn't we? God favors them. I favor them. I love the Jew because God loves the Jew. I love Jesus, who was a Jew, and God gave the Jewish people Jesus. But secondly, we'll just go down the passage. Look at verses 3-5. I must hurry. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. We had the Wonder Woman, but here's another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. See, there's a lot of history in between these verses. For to defy her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Number two, I love Israel because of Israel's satanic foe. The one that hates Israel is the one that hates you too. He is their satanic foe, but he is also your satanic foe. He's the red dragon. Red speaking of bloodthirsty, bloodlust, speaks of murder, speaks of hatred. Tonight, across our land, there's so much hate going against Israel. I want to go on record. I don't hate the Palestinians. I don't hate anyone. But they have chosen to hate Israel. And God's going to deal with them. Good preaching, Reverend. He had 7 heads and 10 horns, which speaks of power. That's that dragon. And he rebelled or fell, and with his tail, one-third of the angels went with him. Amen. By the way, hell's going to be his place. The Bible said in Matthew 25:41, then shall they say also on them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That the devil and that one-third of angels are predestined to hell itself. And hell was made for them and was never made for you. And if you go to hell tonight, you'll be an intruder. If you go to hell tonight, you'll go over the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to know the devil has always tried to destroy the Messiah. That's why he moved Herod to kill all the kids 2 years and under. Why? To stop Jesus. He tried to stop him there at the cross. And I want to say 2 things about Satan tonight. You hear me out. He is anti-Christ. And he's anti-Semitic. And every hateful act that's going on in our world today is pushed by him. He's behind it all. He is in that professor's heart on the college campus. He is in those wicked people that's burning flags and sticking posts in God's people Israel's eyeball. I saw the other day one of them's eyeball was almost punched out because of one of those rioters and haters. They hate Jesus and they hate the Jew. But I want y'all to know I love Jesus and I love the Jew. I want you to know Israel has went through several atrocities under Pharaoh, under Nebuchadnezzar, under Alexander the Great, under Nero, the Emperor of Rome, under the Turks. Even in the name of Christ and Christianity during the Crusades, one of the darkest times, Chad, People that named the name of God persecuted and killed them. And in Hitler's gas ovens, this little nation. And you know what they teach every Palestinian child in Gaza and Lebanon and Syria? They one purpose, destroy the Jew, run them in the sea. That's their anthem. That's their call. I read this. It broke my heart, actually. By the way, before I say this, October 7th was one of the darkest days in human history. Dark day. If that would have happened in America, we wouldn't have stopped till we got our man. But now, after 200 days or so, we see some waffling. We see some waffling. I say to you, America better stay 100% behind Israel, or God will judge America. I read a book or excerpt of a book. A man named Stanley Fish wrote a book, and he had in the book the testimony of a Muslim mother who had trained her child and equipped her child to be a terrorist and to carry a bomb. And by the way, her son's name was Mohammed. And Mohammed actually did what his mother asked him and went out and put a vest of bombs around him and went and detonated in a crowd of Jewish people. That's what they live with every day. And blowed up 10 and killed 10 Jews. And his mother had encouraged him and said he had sacrificed to Allah. My heart breaks for such blindness. I remember when, Jeff, the time I took you and the group and we went through the tunnel. I don't know if you remember it. There were two Jewish ladies, or three, excuse me, in front of that tunnel. I'm not talking about the tunnel we went on the last time. This is a tunnel around the wall of Jerusalem. Chad, you haven't been around that. You've been behind it. There's three Jewish ladies there, Lois, and they were screaming at me and crying to me and almost beating my chest. And I asked the interpreter, I said, what are they saying there? And he said, they're telling you that someone cut the fence in the West Bank and went in there into a settlement, a Jewish settlement, and killed a father and mother and five children and slit their throats. And they live with that every day. And it's quiet in here, but I'm telling the truth. Who inspired all this? It's inspired by the devil. Number three, let's go on into our passage so I can finish before 7 or near 7. Let's go to verse 6 and read down to verse 12. And I'll give you the third point, Israel's spiritual fight. And the woman fled in the wilderness, for she hath prepared a place of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Now, there are going to be two wars here. There's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there found any more in heaven. And that old dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night. There's two battles in this passage. The first one is a war in heaven. That is a war between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. You said, I thought that happened way back there. No, it ain't happened yet. Now, the fall of Satan happened back there, and Satan's the one drew the stars back there. No, that war has not happened yet. It's going to happen. Right. Amen. It's going to be the dragon, the serpent, Satan. Now, yes, they were kicked out of heaven, but I want you to know, hear me, look at me. The devil still has access to heaven. Did y'all know that? How many of y'all knew that? Well, I'm going to read it to you. Job 1:6 says this. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. What'd he do? He came along to accuse Job. By the way, Satan knows your name. Right now, his job day and night is to accuse you. To make accusations. By the way, and because we're in the flesh, every once in a while we give him some fodder. Oh, I'm sure he has went up there and said, John Smith's not a real good representation. He's not perfect. Before you say amen to that, I'm not alone in that accusation. Amen. He goes as a prosecuting attorney accusing us. But thank God, he's going to get kicked out. And he will not be able to accuse another brother, another weak Christian, another strong guy. He'll never be able to say that. But until then, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins and not ours only, but for the whole world. Y'all with me? Then secondly, in verse 11 and 12, there's a war here on earth. And by the way, the formula for the saint in the tribulation period to defeat the devil, Zach, is the same formula God has for you. Yeah. Let me give it to you rapidly if I can. Look at these verses. Let's see how they overcome him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death, unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. What is the believer's conquest? I'll tell you what it is. It's the blood. You said, I can't hardly beat the devil. I can't overcome him. Oh, yeah, you can. You can do it by the blood. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lois, it's still the blood. The blood has power. I remember Marguerite thought I went crazy one night. Every once in a while, she thinks I'm crazy every day, but one night especially. I was under demonic oppression that day. Have you ever been there? And she heard me saying this, and I know she thought I was nuts. Because she told me later she did, until she understood what was going on. I was in there in my man cave, sitting on my lazy boy, reading my Bible, being oppressed by the devil. And I, all of a sudden, I said, I claim the blood, devil. You can't beat the blood. I'm under the blood. You can't fight the blood. You can't overcome the blood. It's still the blood. Get behind me. And then secondly, that not only the believer's conquest, but the believer's confessing by the word of your testimony. By the way, Jesus is Lord. He's Lamb. He's the Lion. He died for you. He redeemed you. You are now a king and priest. When the devil comes after you and says something about your past, you just tell him about his future. And tell him he's a liar, a thief. And in the name of Jesus, be gone, be gone. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm moving as fast as I can. And then the believer's courage. It said, and they love not their lives until death, unto the death. That doesn't mean just they lived until they died. That means they were willing to die. And whether y'all know this or not, there's a great martyrdom going on in the world today. Go to Burma. Go to some places in Cambodia and Thailand and some of those areas. The Christian believer is under such persecution. Amen. Then look at verse 13. I'm moving. Y'all with me? Yep. I'm trying to close. Then I see Israel's strategic flight. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. This is Israel's second Holocaust. And to the woman were given two wings into a great eagle. Some people believe that's America lifting them to protection. I don't buy that, but I hope so. That she might fly in the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. Time being a year, times being 2 years and a half a year or 3.5 years, God will take care of her. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood that the devil threw at her. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. I want you to turn to a passage. Let me say this to you carefully. Listen. Listen carefully. Go to Matthew 24. I'm closing here in a moment. Let's go ahead to the piano because I am closing. The last point I'll move. I want to get all this, but turn to Matthew 24. Are you? Will you go there with me? Amen. Verse 15 through 21. By the way, the temple is going to be built, and Satan is going to go into the temple and claim himself to be God. See, at the beginning of the tribulation, he's going to make a pact with Israel. Going to break the pact, go into the Jewish temple that will be rebuilt, and defile God. You said, I never heard of that. Well, let me show it to you. Matthew 24, are you there? Say amen. Amen. And verse number 15. Here's what the Bible said. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let them which is in the on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor forevermore. Israel's going to flee. Somehow the devil's going to throw a flood at them, and God is going to preserve them by opening the earth and the earth swallowing up the flood. You said, do you know what that means? Absolutely not. I'm not sure. I can speculate. Here's all I'm going to tell you. God will protect them during the tribulation period. Then I'm asked this question and I conclude why I love Israel. Israel saving faith. They will. They are Christ rejectors right now. But they will one day receive Christ as Savior. Let me read it to you, then give you three verses, and then I'll be done for tonight. Look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now listen to this. The woman's seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus. So they received Christ. Let me read you three verses of scripture from the holy book and try to find a way to quit. Zechariah 12:10 says this, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as that is in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 1. In that day shall there be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. May I say to you, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The Jews will receive it, and I pray that you have received it. And finally, in Romans 11, 25 and 26, I want you to hear this. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I want you to know my Redeemer's coming. And the Jews that have been blinded for 2,000 years will look up and see their Redeemer, and they'll repent of their sins and be saved as a nation. But my question is, have you repented of your sins and have trusted Christ as your Savior? Bow your heads with me. How many say, preacher, I know I'm saved? Raise your hand. How many people tonight after hearing this message will say, I'll do my best this week to pray for Israel? Simple. How many tonight would even just come to the altar and pray for peace, the peace of Israel, and pray that our leaders of our nation will make the right decision concerning her? And if you're lost, come to Christ.